call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You may be seated. Well, who was the book of Isaiah written to? Who is the them referred to in this verse? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Isaiah was a prophet to whom? Where was Isaiah living? It would be preposterous to say that he was living in Africa or Asia or South America or even North America or Europe. Isaiah didn't live on any of these continents. He lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. He was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. He was a contemporary to King Hezekiah, who was king of Judah, and prayed with him when the remnant kingdom was hopelessly involved in a situation that almost spelled the doom of his kingdom. The them in this verse is referring to the people in the southern kingdom of Judah, no one else. This verse tells of one of the many woes of Judah that was pronounced upon them. Isaiah tells them that everything that they feel like doing is right in their own eyes. They call evil just as good as good itself. Darkness to them is as light itself. Bitter is as sweet itself. In fact, they love darkness more than light. They are confused as to what darkness is. They call it light. Sounds just like the Democratic National Convention that was held last month. Joe Biden's acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention was, "Vote for me, not Trump." Biden and the Democrats are the light. Trump and the Republicans are the darkness. He ended his speech with the following words. Here's a quote from his speech. "This is our," referring to the Democrats, "moment to make hope and history rhyme. With passion and purpose, let us begin, you and I together, one nation under," and I added all the different gods or no God, "united in our love," and I added hatred, "for America, and united in our love for each other," and I added the far left Democrats. He went on and said, "For love is more powerful than hate." This is Biden talking. "Hope is more powerful than fear. Light is more powerful than dark. This is our moment. This is our," referring to the Democrats, "mission." He continues, "May history be able to say that the end of this chapter of American darkness," and he's referring to President Trump's America, "began here tonight as love and hope and light in the battle for the soul of the nation." And this is the battle that we, referring to Democrats, together will win. I, Joe Biden, promise you, unquote. Well, President Trump responded to Biden's acceptance speech by condemning Biden's convention speech for its gloomy, unsparingly assessment of the challenges facing the country, rejecting his Democratic opponent's vision of America's darkness for what he said was American greatness. Trump said, now quoting Trump, they, referring to the Democrats, want to punish America and its citizens instead of holding them high, he said. When Joe Biden sees American darkness, I see American greatness. Who's right? Do the Democrats see American darkness now and want it destroyed so they can rebuild it into a utopia? Or are the Republicans correct that America's darkness is America's greatness? The Democratic National Convention gives away the clue that they are demonic. Oh, this has been up on the wall. I have to show this. What else could this odd-looking star mean than? Have you seen the Democratic National Convention? It's a spiritual war. I don't blame the Democrats because they're doing exactly, they're following their God. They shouldn't even be in here. Republicans and Democrats believe the opposite on what is the light. They call them different things here. But I believe both parties are wrong. Nevertheless, the Republicans' view is a whole lot better than the Democrats, for they are against the murder of the unborn. And by golly, I heard good speeches by a Catholic nun of all people who testified she was against the murder of the unborn. Are for school choice. Are for less regulation in businesses. Are for reduced taxes. Are for energy independence. Are for secure borders. Are for the funding of the police. Are for fracking and energy independence. Are for the public control against the burning, looting, and murder, BLM, and the communities. Are for public worship in churches. Are for the suburbs remaining the same as opposed to larger cities that are near them taking and destroying the suburbs. In other words, there'd be no more single housing in the Democratic plan. The cities will take over our area here. And, of course, the cities are bankrupt. They will just tax us more. Are for returning American jobs that have gone overseas. Are for fair trade agreements that put America first and on, etc. The Republicans are a far better choice than Democrats. The capitalist integrationist Republicans are more correct than the very hardcore communist Democrats. But they both do not know what made America great and what would make America great again. Neither side. The Democrats are demonically inspired. They are threatening senators and their wives with physical harm, even death. Who are these burners, looters, and murderers? Who is paying them to come to the locations that are in an uproar from other places? The Republicans are a better choice than the Democrats, but they aren't the best choice. But at least they are advocating a couple of God's laws being kept or reinstated. The best choice would be a party that advocates the keeping of all God's holy laws. But that choice is not available to us now. The Republicans and Democrats both agree that everyone is descended from Adam and Eve. That we're all in this together. That we should be tolerant of sexual behavior that is an abomination to our Lord God. That we are the melting pot of the world. That segregation was and is wrong. That we need a federal private usury banking system. that we must be integrated, that the prison system, along with most death sentences, is wrong, that there must be a tolerance towards religious views, as the Republican National Convention had a Jewish rabbi give the prayer on the third night of its convention, that there are no antichrist anymore that want to eliminate Christians as well as Christianity, and so forth. They're all in agreement to those views. Let us begin to examine most of these situations that both parties do not discuss, because they are in agreement with these issues. There is no discussion allowed against their position. I'll take the first one today, the next one the next service, and the next one at the conference, and the next one that we come back. The first one is the sodomite question. They're both in agreement. Now, Leviticus 20:13, quote, "If a man shall also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood should be upon them." And a second witness, 2 Kings 23:7, "And he," referring to King Josiah, "break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of Yahweh, where the women wove hanging for the grove." This is our God's light. If a man lieth with another man, as he lieth with a woman, both have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Sodomites are an abomination in God's eyes. There is a revival in a nation when they are eliminated or chased out of the nation. Isn't that what Germany had done in the Nazi era? Didn't they put these sexual perverts in concentration camps? Wasn't Germany a Christian nation? The home of the Protestant Reformation? What was the United States doing about this same situation? Did we put the individuals that are called an abomination in Yahweh's sight in concentration camps? Or did we protect them? Is our nation following this simple law? Two sodomites should be put to death, for they are abomination to our God. That light is that homosexuality is wrong. It is an abomination to our God and should not be allowed to happen. It should be a crime, as it is a spiritual offense. And now it is legal in our nation for two individuals of the same gender to marry, which will produce no children. Well, it's either right or wrong. It can be approved or disapproved. It can be either glorified or criminalized. What is happening in our nation today? Why talk about a local case? Well, the Fox News sports reporter for the television Cincinnati Reds baseball game is the son of a Hall of Fame broadcaster, Marty Brenneman. Marty retired last year after many years from the radio booth, and his son, Tom, was in the television booth for over a decade. He also broadcasted football games and other athletic events for over three decades for Fox News. During a recent baseball game between Cincinnati and Kansas City, Tom spoke in a hot mic that caught the end of a sentence that Tom had just said. The words that he spoke were, quote, "the faggot capital of the world." He thought that was not going to be on the mic. he was almost immediately suspended from the broadcast booth, and another announcer was set up to replace him as soon as possible. Tom's on-air apology came more than 2 hours later during the second game of the doubleheader. Tom said, quote, "I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I am so very, very sorry," unquote. The Cincinnati Reds, Fox Sports Ohio, and Major League Baseball all condemned Tom's offensive statement. Fox Sports News said in a statement, quote, "The language that Tom Brenneman used this evening is hatred, offensive, and in no way reflects the values of Fox Sports Ohio. We agree with the Reds' decision to suspend him until further notice." So he was suspended. Now let's analyze the statement from Fox Sports News. Who was Tom's statement a hatred to? The Sodomites. Who was offended by his one word? Sodomites. What values does Fox Sports Ohio have? Was pro-Sodomite. Tom first made a statement that our Lord could agree with, but then he ruined it when he apologized. Quote, here's what Tom said. "To the LGBTQ plus community, I am truly and deeply sorry. You should never be denigrated with cruel and hateful language. I failed you and I cannot say how sorry I am," unquote. But are you aware that Black Lives Matter Incorporated was started by three Marxist lesbians? Are you aware that Pete Buttigieg, who was mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who ran for president in the Democratic Party, is married to another man? Are you aware that Laura Lightfoot, the Democratic mayor of Chicago, is married to another woman? Are you aware that many news anchors, many professional ball players, many actors and actresses, many singers, many dancers, some politicians, some preachers, some deacons, some choir directors, some choir members, some Sunday school teachers, etc., are gay? What Tom originally said in part of his sentence that went out on the hot mic was correct, but it wasn't politically correct. It was for thousands of years correct, but it is not now. If he wouldn't have tried to save his job or jobs, he shouldn't have apologized. As the Inquirer's front page headline said on Friday, August 21st of this year, the headline was, "Can't say what he said and not pay a steep price." Well, an individual can no longer offend the LGBTQ plus crowd and not pay a huge price. What a change from the past. For thousands of years, and when I was young, the homosexuals hid in the closet. It was the other way. Did our Lord God offend the LGBTQ crowd? It used to be that actors and actresses covered up their homosexuality, lesbian, and bisexuality. They even outwardly married a person of the opposite gender just to mislead the public. Their marriage was for show only. If their secret became known, their career was doomed. but now not only reveal that they are gay, but they expect everyone to acknowledge it and not make any bullying remarks. The Democrats are full of them. And the Republicans have not as many, but they have them too. Neither party will say anything against this abomination against our Lord. They are afraid that they will lose the votes of the LGBTQ plus community. But is this the policy of both parties that says that the people who are like the ancient people of Sodom and Gomorrah are to be loved and cherished, and that they are to be treated as our neighbors, and that nothing is to be said against their behavior? In fact, their behavior is to be promoted, and youngsters are to be encouraged to find out who they are. Is this policy that is held by both of our national parties light or darkness? And do you remember who was against Peter Buttigieg being married to another man? It was his brother-in-law. And what occupation is his brother-in-law? He is a preacher. It is the church that is the promoter of the correct light, not the political parties. I have a picture of his brother-in-law. Pete Buttigieg's brother-in-law, Ryan Gleesman, accuses the former gay Democratic presidential hopeful of hijacking his family's history for political advantage by crafting a bogus backstory of poverty, homelessness, and homophobia. Ryan, 34, a pastor in small town Michigan, said he was inundated by death threats and hate mail when stories surfaced claiming he was a bigot who had fallen out with his younger brother Chastine when he came out of the closet. Chastine is the husband or wife, or what, a partner of Pete. And here's Time Magazine's picture of Chastine and Buttigieg. You probably saw them together at the Democratic National Convention. He would be what, the first man? I don't know what he is. But if your church is a 501c3 church, you can't teach that homosexuality is an abomination against Yahweh and Savior. Why? Because every 501c3 church has agreed that they will not say anything against state policy in exchange for their tax-giving exemption from the IRS, which they didn't even need to do. And the LGBTQ plus is now state policy. No church can forbid hiring any individual because of race, creed, gender, or sexual orientation. If they do, they'll be punished by the state, and they have been. We, the FGCP, are one of the few churches in the nation that can proclaim what our Lord teaches us. We can read Leviticus 20:13, which I read to you today, and 2 Kings 23:7, which I also read to you, and say that our God hates the behavior of Pete Buttigieg, Laura Lightfoot, Ellen DeGeneres, Angelina Jolie, Miley Cyrus, Lindsay Lohan, Neil Patrick Harris, Fergie, Lady Gaga, Jodie Foster, Caitlyn Jenner, Cameron Diaz, Christina Aguilera, Drew Barrymore, Madonna, David Bowie, Demi Moore, Kurt Cobain, and so forth. Who is right? The Democrats, or the Republicans, or the 501c3 churches, or the God of the Bible? Now, another article. Brenneman's homophobic slur cannot be a mistake. This was the headline of an article in the forum section of the Sunday, August 23rd, 2020, Cincinnati Inquirer newspaper, written by the vice president of the Cincinnati Public Schools Board of Education, co-founder of Greater Cincinnati's Human Rights Campaign, and regional sales director of Johnson & Johnson. He's on the Board of Education. The man, whose name is Ryan Messer, is a homosexual and a Cincinnati LGBTQ plus leader. So he wrote an article about Tom Brenneman. What do you think he said? He related in the beginning of his essay how hurtful the word Tom used. All he said was the faggot is a capital C. He related in the beginning of his essay how hurtful the word that Tom used when he thought his microphone was off. The word, which was faggot, reminded the writer of when he had just graduated from college and went for the first time to a bar that catered to gay individuals. So he goes to a gay bar. The word that Tom used, which was a slur, was the last word that he heard before the fist of many blows that landed on his face. Before the first of many blows that landed on his face. Instead of being inside the gay bar, he ended up in the emergency room and was admitted to the hospital. The scars on his face and his mouthful of crowns are a constant reminder of that night. So he got beat up because he was gay. He continues in the middle of his article that, and I'm quoting him now, quote, "For those defending Brenneman's use of the word as an error, ask yourselves what your employer would do if you used the same word or a racial epithet while representing your company. That's where things have changed profoundly. Corporate America and small businesses everywhere understand that to thrive, they must treat everyone equally and fairly. Using a slur in public while on the job would be cause for firing in most companies across the U.S. Unquote. I must add my thoughts on the part of the sentence in the article written by Cincinnati Board of Education employee that I bolded in black dark print and underlined. Oh, you can't see it up here. I know that this person can't do what he said that must be done, that the business to thrive, and I'm underlined bold print, they must treat everyone equally and fairly. Everyone must be treated the same. They can't do that. Does that mean that a business can't give individuals that are over the age of 60, like me, a senior discount? Would that be fair and equal to all the underage customers? Does that mean that a business must treat an individual who comes bearing the effects of being a drug addict the same as he treats a regular good customer? Does that mean that a business must treat a criminal who has committed felonies the same as a wealthy, regular customer? Does that mean that a business must treat a child sexual predator equally and fairly as he treats all children that are in his store? Does that mean that a waiter or waitress must treat a person who is a regular big tipper the same as a person who does not tip at all? Does that mean that a business must treat a loud-mouthed, cussing individual in the store as well as he treats a well-mannered, well-behaved customer? Does that mean that burners, looters, and murderers are to be treated the same as honest, law-abiding citizens? Does that mean a transgender person should be treated the same as a person who accepts a sexual orientation from God? Of course it doesn't. So what? Why does he say it? He then says that he was, quote, heartened by the speed with which the Reds responded to the situation, and he will continue to wear his rainbow Cincinnati Reds hat with pride. The team is important to our community, and I want the Reds to succeed, unquote. My view is just the opposite. I have watched about 4 innings of the Reds the whole season. I wish Tom wouldn't have apologized. I wished he would have had said, quote, this is what I said and this is what I meant, unquote. And I'm so disgusted with professional sports, including the Bengals. But I no longer care how well they do. I am sorry that the practice of homosexuality offends a few people. But it more importantly also offends the God of the Bible. But that wasn't all the articles in the comment of Cincinnati Enquirer. On Friday, September 4th, 2020, Cincinnati Enquirer Ryan Messer said in an article that the Cincinnati Reds shouldn't fire Tom Brenneman. This is the guy who just wrote the article. I just read to you. Messer compared Tom's situation with his father's when he revealed to him he was a homosexual. His father initially rejected him, but after many years came back to him. I know a person who's rejected his son because he's a homosexual and still rejects him. Messer said the same thing could be true with Tom. Here's a quote from Messer in the next article. The only alternative we have is fire him and sit in a corner somewhere and no one hears from him versus give him the opportunity. Some of the most feared advocates in whatever topic may not be those who the most affected, but it's people who have learned and emphasized. I start with my father. If I used the logic that he should be fired, then I wouldn't just written my father off and never talk to him again, unquote. Brenneman was said that he was going to meet Ryan, that's the guy who wrote the article, the Cincinnati Board of Education, and a handful of others next week, including Cincinnati Councilman Chris Selbeck. Both sides hope that these meetings will help satisfy the situation and help change what the public thinks. Oh, we have to change, and we don't believe what our God said. Then there was the incident that happened after the Republican National Convention ended at the White House. The 1,500 attendees began their walk from outside the White House to the hotels where they were staying. It's the last night of the conference. There had been a mob outside the backyard of the White House the last day of the conference with blowhorns and yelling, trying to drown out the speakers. But they failed. But I did hear it. When it was over, their hatred really showed itself. They began to attack different pro-Trump people who were leaving. Well, everyone there was pro-Trump. One was Rand Paul and his wife. They were both surrounded by a gang of protesters, one of which pushed one of the 2 police officers who Senator Paul happened to reach before the mob got to them. Senator Paul grabbed the pushed police officer, keeping him from falling to the ground. The police officer then telephoned for more help, which came after a couple of seconds. Paul wrote, quote, just got attacked by an angry mob of over 100, one block away from the White House, unquote. And thanked police for, quote, literally saving our lives from a crazed mob, unquote. His wife echoes the same thought. The headline in Cincinnati Enquirer was, Senator Paul alleges angry mob attack. Allege means to assert without proof. But there was a video that captured most of the incident. Senator Paul's wife was visibly upset and agreed with every word that her husband said. But he wasn't the only one. And I bet you haven't heard about this one. There were a whole host of prominent people who were attacked in like manner. And there were some who are not very well known by the public. There's a group of 3 individuals who were verbally assaulted by BLM devotees. at least two of the three were gay, and they were called faggots many times by the rioters. I couldn't find their story in the Cincinnati Communist Inquirer or the USA Communist Today paper. It might have been there, but I couldn't find it because it was videotaped and it was shown on Fox News. And here's a picture of the BLM, the big stick, cussing out the gay people. Brandon Straka, the founder of the Walk Away campaign, told Tucker Carlson Tonight, Friday after the LCNC conference, that he and a friend faced anti-gay attacks from protesters who gathered outside the White House on the final night of the Republican National Convention. Earlier on Friday, Straka tweeted a video that showed him and colleague Mike Harlow being accosted by people on a Washington, D.C. sidewalk. As the video begins, someone can hear calling Harlow a faggot and apparently spitting at him. Quote, "We were exiting the convention along with a large group of people, and there was a small group of BLM hecklers there to harass people as they were walking out," unquote, Strata commented. Quote, "We were trying to get back to our hotel, and as we were walking to our hotel, four of the people who are with the BLM mob that was harassing the majority of the people as they were leaving were walking down the street, crossing us as we were walking back to the hotel," unquote. Straka continued, quote, "And that's when they started hurling homophobic slurs at us, anti-gay slurs, and then they walked up to Mike Harley, spit in his face, they threw a drink at me, threw a cup in my face, and then they hit Libby Albert, the girl that was with me," unquote. Quote, "They called this anti-gay F-word about three or four times, as you can see in that video," he added. So they called him faggot four times. I would like to ask some of those in the media, this is a good question, gay people like CNN anchors Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon and Bravo host Andy Cohen, do you have anything to say about the fact that two gay men were attacked last night by Black Lives Matter? Straka also said that he'd love to know what you think about how now that two people in your committee were attacked by this organization. Well, Black Lives Matter primarily is that black LGBTQ plus lives matter. The fact that BLM members were attacking non-black gay people shows they don't consider they are a high priority. But this incident shows a huge difference in the treatment of related events. The BLM attackers and Tom Brenneman both used the word faggot. Tom used it when he wasn't supposed to be heard. If the microphone wasn't on, nothing would have happened. Only part of a sentence went out on the hot mic, and he could have been quoting a famous line from a movie that's describing the town that Tom was broadcasting in, Kansas City. The Black Lives Matter protesters yelled the word several times and spit in one of their faces. Another protester threw a drink and a cup at the other gay member. Which one did the worst? Which one received the worst punishment? I don't understand the justice in this. No mercy on Tom Brenneman, and no justice for the Black Lives Matter harassers. None of them was arrested. Tom Brenneman was immediately suspended and may lose his job or jobs permanently. And then this happens. California passes law protecting members of sexual child predators. California Senator Scott Weiner has helped pass legislation that will protect sexual predators in the LGBTQ plus community in his home state. California just passed a law on Monday, August 31st. that would relax sex offender registry requirements for sexual assaults, such as sodomy with minors. I added, we owe an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. To end discrimination, quote, discrimination against LGBTQ young people on the sex offender registry, unquote. Under this law, adults who have sex with a minor who is less than 10 years younger would not have their names automatically added to the sex offender registry, 10 years younger. So if you're 20, you can have a sex with a child up to the age of 10, not be a sex offender registry. Instead, the bill will allow judges to decide if adults should be added to the registry if they had sex with a minor between the ages of 14 and 17. California will eliminate disparity in its statutory rape trials. The critics say is that discriminatory vestige of the historic criminalization of gay sex under a bill sent Monday to Governor Gavin Newsom. Well, let me just say this. California is now experiencing its worst forest fires in its entire history. The state is burning so bad that more property has been destroyed than at any time the state has been in existence. An area larger than the size of Connecticut, it's bigger than the whole state of Connecticut, is burning and is now nowhere close to being ended. It's just getting larger and larger. There are more fires that have also burned many thousands of acres in Oregon and Washington. The cause isn't climate change, as Governor Newsom said. It's not that. The cause is neglect of cleaning out the forest in the previous decades. This has left huge stockpiles of fuel to burn out of control. The fires are still burning, with entire towns destroyed in their wake. There are close to 100 fires burning in California, Oregon, and Washington as of last Thursday. And the fire has hit the suburbs of Portland right now. What happened in Portland? Do you think this is one of God's judgments on what California and the other two western states are doing in violation of God's law? One of which is making homosexuality and all its related events normal. And there's a lot of other God's law they're violating. And there's also another hurricane coming up, ready to hit New Orleans again. A lot of floods. May our Lord God have mercy on us. My conclusion. The Republicans are better than the communist Democrats, secretly led by Bernie Sanders and his burners, looters, and murderers. But no matter which party wins, they will not save our nation. The media is completely behind all the violence and hatred that is committed by the far left. Well, they're communists. That's the way the communists operate. They are owned by the same people who are running both parties. I wonder what people those are. All these riots were started by the death of George Floyd, which the media presented as the police kneeling on the neck of one of the, quote, greatest fathers who has ever lived, unquote. That event happened right after the failed impeachment trials. Now at the end of August, we have new documents. Why didn't the Democratic governor of Minnesota release them earlier? The Hennepin County Medical Examiner said toxicology testing found that George Floyd had a potentially, quote, fatal level, unquote, of fentanyl and methamphetamine in his system. The updated version of the report states that on May 25th, George Floyd experienced a, quote, cardiopulmonary arrest while being restrained by law enforcement officers, end quote. He swallowed the drugs while the officers were attempting to take him into custody. It can be seen in one of the officers' camera videos that they revealed. What will America do when we find out that George Floyd murder wasn't a murder after all? Well, they won't reveal it to us. The media is not going to post that. George's family is now multimillionaires. It was $16 million the last I saw. And Al Sharpton has much more money that he will not pay income tax on. Our nation will never be the same. A lot of the leftists, who are communists, will deny the finding of the medical examiner's report. But the BLM attackers against the two homosexual individuals at the RNC said that the words directed to the two individuals involved threw a drink on them in a cup and they go free. If the Democrats win, it'll be over for the United States. Maybe that's what God wants. Fix a fast one. We will quickly become the most communistic nation in all the earth. Well, he did say they're going to control the world. And they'll say, we've got it. Not quite. We'll be more communistic than Russia or China. If the Republicans win, it'll take a little bit longer. But we'll be keeping some of our God's laws, but most of them we will not be keeping. One of these major sins that are not followed by either party were discussed in this sermon. Many more in the upcoming ones. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, to be continued.